If you want to keep customers engaged, you need to remind them constantly that you are providing value. They don't know what you're doing if you don't tell them. You need to tell people who are external from your business what you're doing internally.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a billion-dollar portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
Did you know that just like dating, there's a honeymoon phase for your customers as well? So just like when you get into a new relationship, you're all like lovey-dovey, all you want to do is make out with the person all the time, the same goes for customers. And so the interesting part is that what that means is that the tendency of every relationship over time is to actually drift apart. And so similar to some of the best dating advice, which is never stop dating your spouse, the same could be said for your customers. Really interesting, but the average company actually has about 4 times more interaction with the customer prior to selling them than they do after the sale. It's no wonder that companies have an issue keeping customers. Most of the companies that we look at in acquisition.com, people can nail getting a customer. Most companies can get any one person to make a one-time purchase decision, but building a relationship is much more rare. The reason this is top of mind for me is because we had a portfolio company, and this company specifically kind of raised the red flag to us, and we also saw the red flag of having a churn issue. And so churn is when you are losing more customers than you would like, essentially. So it's like how many people per month are exiting your business. You could say how many people per year, you could say how many people per month, and that's how you calculate your churn rates. Like what comes in, how many leave. And so this is specifically for a recurring business, right? Because if somebody just buys a bottle of toothpaste and then they don't buy another bottle, we might not say that you lost the customer. We might just say that they didn't buy again. But in a case where someone signs up for a recurring service that every month they pay for, if we're losing people each month, then that is where churn is more relevant for a business. And so in this instance, that company has a service they provide every month. And so people are paying every 4 weeks for that service. And what I saw was about last fall, churn really started to spike. And I was like, what is going on? This is definitely an issue. And so the first thing I think to myself is like, I have to look at like, during what time period when that person's a customer, are they churning? Are they churning in the first day, the first 2 days, the first week? Is it after 30 days? Like at what point are they leaving? Because the interesting thing about churn, about losing customers, is that there's different types and they mean different things, which would be the closer to the point of sale that someone churns out, what I can assume is that the likelihood that they churned out because the product is low, the likelihood they churned out because the expectations set on the sale were not immediately reinforced is high. And so what likely happens is in the first 24 to 48 hours when someone churns, the reason that they churn is because there's an expectation set on the sales process that was not met immediately when they went post-purchase. On the other hand, if someone churns 30 to 60 to 90 days afterwards, that probably tells me that we have a delivery or a product issue. Because most people, if their expectations aren't met immediately, they'll just be like, this, I'm out, like you lied to me, right? Whereas on the other hand, if somebody feels like the expectations were met and then they're using the service and they've been consuming it and then they leave, that is most likely product, customer success. One of those things is going to be the reason why they left. Maybe the product is not what they wanted. It's not solving the problem to the degree that they hoped for. Or maybe the customer service or the experience around the product is dog shit. So regardless, I looked at this company and what was really interesting was that they had drop off after 48 hours and after 2 weeks. And so I was like, okay, it's a little bit of both in this instance. At least that's what I'm thinking. And so we gave them a decent amount of feedback. And then finally, after about 2 months of not seeing a significant increase and their churn spiked to 10%, which is high, I decided to secret shop them. So here's what happened when I secret shopped them. What it means to secret shop, and you guys, if you don't do this in your business, it's a great thing to do to understand what it's like to be a customer, is I essentially went through the customer journey, which is like I pretended to be somebody who wanted to buy their service. So I got an ad from them. I opted into the ad. I booked a call with the salesperson. I went through the sales process. I got blasted with all their emails. I got blasted with text messages. I got like hit up left and right. Essentially, I felt like inundated with information. Like they were constantly coming at me. So I was like, well, this is good. They have great follow through. They have great follow up. The salesperson was super upbeat. I felt like I knew exactly what was happening. The salesperson actually didn't even just wait for an auto response to hit me up and like remind me of my call. He literally left me a personalized voice memo and was like, hey, I just want to remind you of your call tomorrow. Super excited to speak. I was like, this is fantastic. So go through this entire process. And I was like, this is very well done. And then get all the way to the end of the sales call and go through it. He signs me up. He's like, next, you're going to get an email, and that email is going to have me linking you to Joy, and Joy is going to be the point of contact from here on forward, and she's going to make sure you get your onboarding call in the next 48 hours. And so I'm like, great, this all sounds amazing. This is going to go really well. And so I bought the product and then waited. I waited a little more, and then like an hour, and then 2 hours, and I'm like, hello, and then a day. So I email support, and I say, hey, I just bought the product. They said I would get an email immediately introducing me to my new point of contact. Nothing. Crickets. Imagine what it would feel like if you had all this hype around getting you to buy a product. Someone had been talking to you left and right all day, texting you personally, leaving you voicemails. And then the moment after they make the sale, I was lit. It was so obvious to me. I was like, this company has blasted me with communications. And then the moment that I buy the thing, they ghost me. I'm pissed. So what actually ended up happening was that I got reached out to 3 days after I purchased the product, 3 entire days. I was pissed off because it's a terrible experience for the person coming in. And it's a terrible experience for the customer. And it doesn't make them feel like the company gives two shits about them. And so by the time they reached out to onboard me, I called the founder and I was like, hey man, we don't need to go through this anymore. I already know what's wrong. And he's like, oh my God, what could be wrong? And I was like, oh, so many things. If you can relate to this, you're fantastic at bringing in customers, but then maybe not so fantastic at keeping those customers. This is for you because I want to share with you the 6 things you can do to increase the lifetime value of your customers and make 2 to 3 times as much money for every person you bring in. So if you want to keep customers forever, there's a few key things we need to do. Okay. Principle 1 is understanding customer activation. Okay. Customer activation is the point at which the customer receives the first time value from the company. It's the point at which the customer receives value from the product for the first time. So an example of this would be if you're a B2B service company and you say that you're a marketing agency, it would be probably the first time that they get leads from you. Whereas if you're a software company, it might be the first time that they log in and see the dashboard with all their information. Whereas if you're a product, a physical product, it might be when they receive the product hand in hand. So I'll give you a quick story to demonstrate how important this is. So in Gym Launch, when we had an initiative, which was, hey, our churn right now, at one point, it was really high. It was at about 8%. And we said, we don't even want to try and get it to like 2% because I didn't want to make it unrealistic at that point. But I was like, let me just try and break it in half to 4%. And so given this is a B2B service company, I looked at it and said, okay, what's the activation point of the customer? When do they first get value from the product? And the more that I honed in on looking at when people were leaving in the program, what I realized is that the people that were leaving were the people who were not making their investment back the fastest. So the people who stayed and had the highest lifetime value as a customer were the ones where they made their initial investment with us back immediately. Not immediately, but in the first 30 days. So the people who stayed the longest made back their investment in the first 30 days. So what does that mean? If I want more people to stay longer, how do I engineer it so that more people, all the people, make back their investment with us in the first 30 days? And so what we did is we had all this information, which was like we had a portal, we had all these different options for people to choose from. And we said, how do we engineer an onboarding process and a first 30 day so that they make back the money as fast as possible? And so we created what we call the fast cash play. So this is a B2B company, right? They're coming to us because they want to make more money. Just like with weight loss, the more weight someone loses in the first 30 days, the more likely they are to stick with the diet. Well, if you look at like B2B service companies like this, the more money they make back in the first 30 days, the more likely they are to stick with the service. And so we said, cool, we're going to make everybody do what these people did. Because we looked at, why did they make their money back so quickly? Because at this point, what we were doing with Gym Launch is we said, hey, we've got 4 different paths that you can take. You can start here, 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 here. Because I felt like, oh, that's more customized. So it gives a better experience for the customer. But what we lose through the customization is the certainty of delivering them the outcome. And so we said, cool, you know what? We'll do that whole, like, they have to pick their own path. But first, the first 30 days, they need to do the fast cash play. Because what we saw was that those people that got to the 30 days and had recouped their investment had done the fast cash play. Out of those four options, that was the one that they chose. And that's why they made their money back so fast. So then we said, all these other options, that's the only thing our customers do, the fast cash play. Guess what happened? Our churn went from 8% to 3% within 6 months. And obviously, I say within 6 months because it takes time to put these things together. We had to redo the product. And then we had to see out all the customers who came in after selling new ones into this new way of doing things. And then we forever changed how we did business because we used to think that giving people more autonomy in the beginning around our service would provide a feeling of freedom. And so therefore, they would want to stay longer. But what we learned is that we actually need to give them more direction in the beginning so that we are certain that we deliver the value that we know we can. And then after that 30 days, we can loosen it up. The likelihood that we are able to now get them to do what the program says to do or what we tell them to do because they've already seen results is also much higher. So you get more compliance from customers. The faster you deliver results, the longer they stay, and the more compliant they will be with the things that you recommend. The second principle, if you want to keep customers longer and double or triple your lifetime value, is to track and display ROI. Think about it like this, right? If you go to get on an airplane, and they're like, hey, sorry, we have a delay. You're like, okay, great. What happens 30 minutes later? What happens 30 minutes later is you're like, hello, where's everybody? Like, where's my plane? What's going on? Has there been anything happening? Do you know why they always let you know, hey, we would like to inform you that there is still a delay. The plane is still delayed. Why do they do that? Why have airlines figured it out that they have to consistently every 20 to 30 minutes tell you that you're still delayed? Because people would rather be informed and feel like they're making progress and their questions are answered than remain in the dark. And so for a lot of companies, they take in a customer and they say, we're going to do all these things for you. A great example would be recruiting. We're going to find you the best COO in the world and they're going to change your whole company. You're like, amazing. And they're like, okay, cool. It's going to take us a couple weeks. And then, yeah, by week two, when they haven't sent you an email, they haven't said jack to you, they haven't told you how many candidates they've reached out to, you're like, he took my money and ran. This actually happened to me. So what happened was that when I was younger in my career, about 7 years ago, I signed up with a recruiting company for the first time. And when I signed up with that recruiting company, I was super excited. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to get all these candidates. I'm sure I'm going to get them in the next like 5 days, right? Because I have no idea how long it takes to recruit people. And so I signed up with them and I'm so excited. And then a week goes by and I hear nothing. And then the next week comes and it's like Monday, I'm checking my inbox. Tuesday, I'm checking my inbox. It's like nothing. So I reach out to them and I'm like, are we still doing this? And they were like, of course. We've been doing X, Y, and Z. We've been sourcing from here. We've been doing all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, that would be great to know because you don't need to get somebody to the goal immediately, but you do need to tell them that you're tracking to it. And so like with anything in life, say you give instructions to an employee and you're like, here's what I want you to work on. If you don't hear anything from them, how do you know they're working on it? How do you know that they're going to hit the goal? You don't. And so with any company, what you want to understand is that if you want to keep customers engaged, you need to remind them constantly that you are providing value. They don't know what you're doing if you don't tell them. So you need to tell them, you need to tell people who are external from your business what you're doing internally. And so an example of this would be if you're a B2B company, and like, let's say Jim Mulch, right? Like you're driving money into their business. Let's every week have them fill out a report of what they did that week and how much money they made using the systems. That's actually what we did on our coaching side. We had a document that we asked them to fill out every week, which said like, what steps did you take and how much money did you generate from the fast cash play? So then what does that mean? They don't need to have made back their entire investment in those 5 days, but they're reminded of how far they've come. And so another example of this would be if you've got somebody who's doing a recruiting service. Okay, the first thing I'd be doing is I'd be updating them on like, here's my sourcing strategy. Here's how many people I'm going to cold email. Here's where I'm going to post your listing. And then by the way, you're going to hear from me in about 2 to 3 days, and I'm going to let you know what the response rates are of those people. And then by the end of the week on Friday, I'm going to let you know how many people passed to the first interview. It's not like you need to have delivered the candidate in 5 days, but you need to let them know where you're at in the process. Software companies do a really great job of this. A great example would be Instacart. Every freaking time I log into Instacart, what do I see? Every time I do a purchase, all it tells me, you have saved, I think at this point, 5,672 hours with Instacart. Because guess who's been a customer for like since inception? I have. So it reminds me every time I use it that I don't even know what the inside of a grocery store looks like anymore. It's telling me and reinforcing my usage by letting me know how much time I've saved.
Hey guys, a quick break to tell you that if you'd like to see more content from me that isn't just listening to my voice, you can go on and check out my YouTube channel as well. Just search Layla Hormozi and you'll see me in my face. Thanks again for listening and let's get back to the show.
There's other apps that do things like this. If you look at different apps that are helping you save money, you log in, the first thing you see, you've saved this much money on average since using our app. It's the first thing you see in the interface. And so you always want to be thinking, how can I track and report on the ROI that the customer's getting? It's like they say, if a tree falls in the forest, but nobody's there, did it even happen? Okay, well, if you do work for a customer and you deliver some results or progress, but you never let them know, how do they know you did work for them? They don't. And so that's why the second principle is so important of making sure that your customer knows exactly where you're at and what you're doing. The third principle that we use in terms of customer success, keeping customers longer and making more money is what I call the mirror effect. So remember that story when I was talking about in the very beginning of this video where I had all this interaction before the sale and afterwards it was like nothing. It's kind of like high school, right? Where you like before it's like a guy's flirting with you, doing all this stuff and then you like make out with him and then it's like ghost you, right? Okay, maybe not everyone, maybe not for the guys, right? But you did it to a girl for sure. So it's the same with customers. They get that feeling. They're like, oh my God, I was used. I was taken advantage of. That's the same feeling your customers have when after you make a sale, you don't talk to them, right? They feel like the girl who just got closed and then didn't hear the next day. And so what you want to do is you actually want to match touch points, okay? So if right now you think that you're really great at making sales and marketing, what I want you to do is I want you to get in your customer's shoes and count. How many times does your customer touch your business before you make a sale? How many ads do they see? How many funnels do they opt into? How many emails do they get? How many touch points with a rep do they have? How many calls do they have? How many pieces of content do they consume? And then what I want you to do is take that number and put it post-purchase. If you want to keep someone longer, if you want to double your lifetime value, take the amount of touch points you have prior to the sale and reflect them after. And if you can't think of ways to do that, here's a few. Emails post-purchase talking about what the product is, how to use the product, who's their point of contact, what can they do to be more successful? The second thing could be, you have content to get people to buy your thing. Why would you not have content to get people to use your thing? This is called product marketing, which is as soon as you have somebody into the business, you're no longer marketing to get customers. You're marketing to get customers to use the product. Don't you think that if you had some videos, some content, and some email communications, they'd be more likely to use it? And so that is why mirrored communication is so important, is because a lot of people have really great communication prior to purchase, but then afterwards, it's like they leave everyone feeling like the girl who got left in the dust. And so take the amount of touch points, mirror them to after. The fourth principle of customer success, if you want to make more money and keep customers longer, is called time to value. How long does it take before your customer gets value from the product? So think about it like this. They can use the product, but do they get value from it? What's a good example? Crest white strips. You have 30-day supply of white strips. So I'm going to use the product on day one, but when are my teeth white? Certainly not day one. It's certainly not day two. It's certainly not day four. It's 30 days. Why do you think they came out with 1 hour express? Why? Because it shortens the time to value. I put it on and an hour later, my teeth are white. It's no coincidence that they did this because they realized people felt very discouraged putting on Crest white strips every day and only getting a result 30 days later. It was a lot of work and you don't see a result until 30 days. Maybe it's just me because I use them all the time. But there's a lot of businesses that have great products, but they do not know how to deliver value fast enough. So I'll give an example. We have one company in the portfolio that they have a fantastic product, but that product is a business service and it requires both work on their part to help the customer and actions on the customer's behalf to make the product work, right? So it's a two-way street. And so when we looked at when does somebody really recognize value from this product, it was at the 6-month mark. And so the reason I thought this was a problem was because I thought they had a great product. But when renewals came around, literally there was, we had 52 renewals come up 1 month and they got 2 to renew. And I was like, I know the product is not the issue because the product's great, but the experience of the product is poor. Have you ever gone to a restaurant that's incredibly fancy and everyone's told you it's amazing and you get there and you have to wait 3 hours before you get your first course? Or it might be that you have to wait an hour before you even get bread and appetizers. Doesn't that completely taint your view of the product? The food might be fantastic, but the fact that you had to wait 3 hours to get a steak, you're never going back there again. The same can be said for any product or service. And so I explained this to them and I said, you've got the cold steak problem, which is you have a great steak, but it's just 3 hours too late. And so I looked at their product and I said, why is the reason it has to take 6 months? Why can't this take 30 days? And they're like, oh, well, Layla, we've got to educate the customer. And, you know, so what we do right now is essentially, you know, we drip one video a week for 6 months. And I was like, wait, what? So what I'd never realized when I'd gone through their product was that in order to educate the customer to take action, to fully realize the value of the service, they dripped one video a week for 6 months. And so I said, what if they watched one video a day for 2 weeks? What could we get done there? And so as soon as we did that, I kid you not, we reduced the time to value by 5 months. Customers were able to get the same result that they were getting in 6 months in one from a very simple change of just condensing the work. Because it's not about the time it takes. It's about the amount of videos that they consumed. Okay. It's not that it takes 6 months to learn the product. It's that you spaced the videos out over 6 months. And I think a lot of people conflate these. It's not the time. It's the things that happen in that time. So let's just take the things that happen in 6 months, put them in 30 days. So again, if you're like a service company, how long before they recoup their investment? How long before they see a result? If you're a pest control company, am I going to still have rats after the first spray? How many sprays do I need before there's no rats? If you're a SaaS company and they've switched from one tool to yours, how long before your tool is fully integrated into their team's product suite? How long before their team is trained on it and can use it more efficiently than they use their last tool? And you might be like, oh my gosh, well, with my software, it takes 6 months. Okay, well, why? Because what, you have a rep meet with them every 2 weeks? Have one rep meet with them every day until they're all using it. Just take the same amount of interactions that you have spread over a longer time horizon and condense them down into the one that you want. It's not about the time. It's about the amount of things that occur in that time. So for example, if you're like a creative agency of some sort or a marketing agency of some sort, a lot of the work is done behind the scenes. So what do you want to do to show the customers that you're constantly delivering value? There's two things you could do. The easiest thing is that you send a week, end of week recap that shows all the work done by your team and how that is driving value. And so it's like, maybe you can't have a whole campaign done at the end of the week, but you're just telling them the same things you already know, which is how much work your team put towards it that week specifically. Some instances, right, like a law firm, they even dock the amount of hours. Now that's because they bill by the hour, but I think it's a really smart thing to do even if you don't bill by the hour because it's showing them how much value they are putting from their internal resources into your service. There's a lot of service businesses that when they're working on large, expensive projects for clients or campaigns or anything like that, they use like a Gantt chart in a sort of project management tool to show people weekly the progress that they're making and when they get to each milestone. And so something that you could do is just figure out, the easiest thing is to do the email. Now, if you're a product or service that is a higher tier, you know, they're paying you, you know, 5 figures, 6 figures to do something for them, I think it's probably worth a Gantt chart or a project management system. So then they're constantly in the know about where the project's at. The thing to remember is that the more integrated that your service or product is into their business, the more feedback you need to provide them with. If you're a marketing agency and you are literally the lifeblood for their product and you don't tell them for 2 weeks, they're probably going to leave you. If you're like, I don't know why my clients leave. I'm like, I do. If you hired an employee to run all of your marketing, you didn't hear from them until 2 weeks in, what would you think? Do you think that they're working on anything? You're probably like, they don't do jack for me. I get a few ads here and there and that's it. That's why they leave. So the more integrated you are into their business and the more core you are to them making money, the more you need to provide these more frequently. The sixth principle when it comes to customer success and keeping customers for life is evolution. The market is constantly changing. Therefore, your product and service should also constantly change. So a lot of people, they're trying to figure out like, how do I market more? How do I sell more? How do I trick people into staying with me? Because they're like, I don't know why they're leaving. Maybe it's because you haven't innovated your product in 6 to 12 months. And so the reality is that like no marketing, no sales, and no customer success can help when you have an outdated product, right? It makes everyone else's lives harder. So the easiest way to prevent an outdated product is to be constantly improving your product. Because people who don't update it, it goes like this. People are constantly improving, it goes like this. So what do you want? This or this? And if you're constantly improving your product, you never have the need to do a complete overhaul of the product. And that's what happens to a lot of companies. They acquire what I call product debt. They don't innovate their product for months to years at a time. And then when they look at it, it's like this enormous project that's going to take 6 months from an entire team. And listen, it doesn't need to be that way if you do these few things. There's two things you can ask your customers to figure out what you need to do to iterate your product to make it go like this. The first one is you want to ask the current customers you have, what is your favorite thing about our product? To make it easy, you can also list out everything that you do. So for example, I did this at Gym Launch. And when I asked them, like, what is your favorite thing? They all said events. And I was like, we do only one a year. What if we just did more of these and less of all the others? Because what they actually rated the lowest when I said, what's your favorite, rank them, was our tech support, which was actually a very high cost for us at the time. And it was a huge hassle. And I was like, oh my gosh, easy for me. Get rid of tech support, add on more events. That was it. Super easy. What do? Increase lifetime value. The second thing is to ask your customers, what would make this product something that you couldn't live without? What would have to happen for you to not be able to live without this product? And what that is always telling you is what are the unmet needs of your customer that if you were to do these things or improve the product, they would be more likely to stay for a longer period of time. So if surveying your customers and doing all these things sounds daunting, you might have a few customers that you like really know. Maybe they were some of the first customers you had. Maybe they're people that you just have a relationship with because maybe it's a smaller company and they're great customers. So at Gym Launch, we got together what we called like our inner circle. So what we did for these customers was because we had good relationships with them and they would give us good feedback consistently, we wanted to make it more organized. And so we said, hey, if we give you X percentage off of the product, will you meet with us once a month and give us product feedback and also collect it from other people that are customers? Because they're also more likely to tell you, not tell us. And so once a month, we had what we called like a round table. I think it was a little longer than you need to do. You could do 1 to 2 hours. I think it ended up being 3 at some points. And they would essentially share with us the things that people wanted more of, the things that people didn't care about, and all of the other features that other companies were coming and offering. So something that we noticed is like, who knows the most about competition in the market? Actually, our customers, because they're constantly being marketed to by the other competitors in the market. And so we said, great, we don't need to look at any of that, but you can just tell us what's appealing about what's new in the marketplace now. We'll just take what sounds best and what is actually appealing, and then we'll just implement that into what we're doing now. So if you do this and you're doing this on a monthly basis and you have a constant product pipeline, then you never have to completely overhaul your product and redo it. You can just constantly iterate it and always stay above the curve. So if we want to expand customer lifetime value is super simple. It's customer value times lifespan. So it's how much a customer pays and is worth to your business times how long they stay with your business. Okay, so an example of this would be Gym Launch, for example. When we first started the company, a customer was paying $1,000 weekly. So if a customer stays for 25 weeks, that's $25,000. If I can double the LTV by putting these six principles in place and they stay for 52 weeks rather than 25, I make $52,000. So how do you double your business without getting more customers? You get them to stay longer.